Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday morning. I just want to thank you again for listening. For those that are traveling down the highways today, thank you for turning on to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. And I do know that probably a lot of people traveling today aren't traveling as much, but if you are, thanks for listening. Especially, I noticed a lot of 18-wheelers, truckers going down because of all the mass exodus of supplies that are on our shelves, and it looks like they have notched it up a little bit. I want to thank you if you've turned us on today. Thanks for listening. And many of you who are on your way to church a lot of times turn us on. And I know today you are not driving to your church due to the fact of what our governor, and we're just abiding by what she is saying. And I think she is doing a wonderful job trying to protect not only in the midst of our nation, the crisis that we're under, but also as a state. She has got the best behalf of Iowans. And I want to thank you, Governor Reynolds, for all that you're doing. And many of you today, this is your Sunday morning service. I want to thank you for listening. I think that we have something this morning that is going to bring hope and encouragement in the midst of these troubled times. But today we are still continuing our teaching series, Hidden in the Story, which I believe brings hope in anxious times, much like it did back in the time of Christ. Although they didn't have technology like we have today, with a lot of news at your very fingertips, but in my mind, that's both good and bad, but fear was the main factor, and in truth, human nature has never changed in its mindset about fear. Maybe like yourself, this week you've been much like me. You've fought off anxiety, depression, and even a little bit of anger, knowing that you can no longer purchase some of the simplest of necessities that we need in our home, like toilet paper, paper towels, or even Kleenex, asking why it seems like the shelves never get filled. But it's a new normal for us, and I hope that it changes in a few months. With that being said, I have some encouraging news for us today that we're going to do how Vital Ministries and our website is helping us out. We continue, number one, we continue to send out daily devotion 6 days a week for both men and women. Matter of fact, you can get it on demand on your phone with an app and get it directly to you each day. It's just a nugget of inspiration, both for men. We have 5 writers for the men, and we also, too, my wife writes for the ladies. And I just encourage you folks, that's just a great way to stay plugged into Vital Ministries and also to give you an inspiration of hope in your day. Also, too, we have our most recent podcast available for you 24 hours a day. You can go to vitalministry.org and check them out, just like what we're doing today. And maybe you're not able to listen to the ones in the past, you can pick them back up. It's also a way of encouragement. We also encourage you to get into small groups at your local church. They are doing a great job of a great opportunity to get one to know each other better at this time. They're small groups. They're obviously paying attention to the 10, but what a great opportunity as families with your neighbor next door where you can sit and do church together. And this was just a matter of time with tough times of people having better ways of communicating, also to getting closer to Jesus. And also too, at this time, what an opportunity that we've been given. And I want you to think about this for a minute. We've been given a Sabbath time. Now, you can take that time, a Sabbath time, and you can watch all the television, radio, and get on your phone and all the stuff you can. But I'm going to encourage you this. Let's take the Sabbath time with Jesus. Let's turn off our TV, our radio, and our phones, and pray to Jesus, who is the true hope that gives us help in the times of where we are today. But like I've shared with you before, we're going to look at how our lives are all hidden in the story in a time in which the church shined a great light. I want us to remember of the late President Theodore Roosevelt once said to our country, who had just had over 2,403 people die at Pearl Harbor, and he makes this statement. He says this, "All we have to fear is fear itself." Words that were spoken clear back in 1941 apply in 2020. The enemy of darkness wants us to be fearful and to lose hope. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ brings hope and stamps out fear. With that being said, let's go deeper into our lives in prayer time, reading the Word of God, and being the people of hope. Let's all together continue to spread the hope of Jesus in the times that we have in the days ahead. We recently journeyed to Colorado Springs and took it over spring break to see my daughter and her son-in-law and my three incredible grandkids. And the same mayhem, folks, as we have in Iowa is happening in Colorado, and same in the grocery stores, all that stuff. But I want to show you some suggestions that my daughter and her husband have implemented, and I think it's just a good thing that they're trying to do with their kids. Number one, they've limited TV and screen time to 1 hour each. They played board games, and we read books, and we even talked. I encourage you. What a great time to do this in times that we're sitting at home. Number two is they went on daily walks. They went outside, and they enjoyed God's creation. And obviously, we were sitting in the mountains, but we weren't in the mountains. But it was just a great time. We live in a great state to get outside and enjoy what God has created. Number three is they did crafts together. We built things, painted things, and even colored. What a great opportunity to share time with your kids and also to your grandkids at this time. And another thing we did chores together. They have chickens and little baby chicks, and we cleaned up messes and fed chickens, and we walked the dogs, and we did things together as chores as a family. And we had a wonderful time. So I'm just going to encourage you. You're wanting to do, you got all this time on your hands at home, especially on the weekends on Sunday. What a great time to invest in family time. But much of us today, as you see that your life is hidden in the story, we need each other. We've forgotten how to talk without staring at a screen or some sort of other thing that creates time for us. But let's be familiar with each other, folks. Let's be grandparents, parenting mom and dads, enjoying the time together. Great times, I promise you this. They are priceless, and you'll never get them back. And we can look back on these days as truly an inspiration. Last week, hidden in the story, we saw a priceless moment with Simon from Cyrene. The man, unknowing today, who walked into Jerusalem over Passover, gets caught up in the crowd and the events that happen, and he is forced to carry the cross of Jesus Christ and his life and his name. Although it's hidden in the story of the Bible, he was a great participant and played a role as he carried the cross at the crucifixion of the Christ. Today we're going to look at another life that is hidden in the story, and his name is Joseph of Arimathea. He comes from a small Judean town of Arimathea, but back in the day, your first name was always acquainted and associated from where you lived. For instance, Jesus was Jesus from Nazareth. In modern times today, if that was still the case, I would be Michael from Oskaloosa, not Michael Sarig, born of Phil and Carolyn Sarig. My parents would be Phil and Carolyn from Beacon. Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned again in all four of the Gospels, who plays an important role in the burial of Jesus. We also know that Joseph is as part of the High Council of the Sanhedrin, a group of religious leaders who called for Jesus to be crucified. And we know from the Bible that Joseph contested this final decision. But he plays more of a silent role for Jesus, but he is now open in the midst of his faith. And we're going to see that he is called the quiet, the silent disciple, but we'll see how those things change in his life. So today, if you have an opportunity, and if you're able, I want you to open up your Bibles to John chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 38 through 42, and I'm reading out of the NLT Bible with you this morning. And starting with verse 38, it says this: Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus, because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down his body. When Pilate gave him permission, Joseph came and took the body away, and with him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following the Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with spices and the long sheets of linen cloth. The place of the crucifixion was near the garden, where there was a new tomb never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. What an opportunity. But my point number one for us this morning is a sacrificed reputation. I've got Tyler Wares with me this morning, and he's going to join in with us as we do this discussion. We talk about this hidden disciple, this man who played this secret role, and we're going to see how he sacrificed his reputation. Tyler, welcome with us this morning.
Thanks. It's great to join in with you this morning, Mike.
Well, it's good. It's good to have you. As we sit and we kind of break this down a little bit to see a little bit about this man. of Joseph of Arimathea. Now, here are some interesting words that gives a description of how Joseph put his reputation on the line. He and Nicodemus went together to take Jesus' body from the cross. This could have cost him everything with the high council. Remember, these religious leaders took Jesus to Pilate, the governor of Israel. Never before had this been done, but they hated Jesus and the new way of Christianity. And by the way, he called himself the Son of the Living God. Standing up for Jesus would have cost Joseph his reputation. Now, I think about this a little bit today, Tyler, as we look at reputation and what price it actually pays for following Christ. So one of the things I was interested in this past Sunday, and if you can think with me for a moment, think about the reputation of our President Trump. And he declares that last Sunday was a day of prayer. And I sit back and I look back at some of the things that were happening in that day, and also to the a lot of good was being said, but man, there was a lot of negativity, pushback against our president. What are some of the things that you noticed in the pushback and the reputation of President Trump?
Yeah, there definitely was pushback on that. And unfortunately, I think a lot of that is the political culture we live in right now, which is really unfortunate that it's such a divided culture right now. One of the things that, you know, you were talking earlier in this podcast about the or radio show about the virus that's going on, and you know the impacts that you saw of that. One of the positive impacts I'm hoping that comes from this virus is less division.
Right.
And
bipartisanship is placed aside. There, people are joining together.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think we're starting to see that.
Yes.
And really seeing just who God really created us all to be, which are decent human beings to one another as well, and starting to see that lay aside. And some of this concern about negative reputation fall, and let some of those guards come down. So I'm really excited to see what happens with that. Unfortunately, it takes something like this to get there. But the reputation is just, there's so much concern with that too. And unfortunately, like I said before, the political climate we're in, there's just so much negativity that gets thrown at all politicians from both sides of the aisle, but at our president specifically on that National Day of Prayer, which was a fantastic way to really bind some people together, I think, this past week was with that National Day of Prayer.
Absolutely. And it goes right along with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14. And this is what it says in the Bible. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Man, how about you, Tyler? But I think that just describes right where we are, not only in the time of Christ, and also the time that it was written in Chronicles, clear back in the beginning of religion itself, as following God, Yahweh, but it applies even today in 2020 as we follow Jesus Christ, humbling ourselves before the Lord. And that's what I see happening. People around the nation took time to humble themselves.
Yeah, absolutely they did. And that just speaks, I think, exactly to what you were just saying. These people taking time, humbling themselves before the Lord, praying, using this National Day of Prayer to really pray for this country and the people of this country, and to just lay things down and be humble as well.
Right. I think about the reputation as American citizens. And we see so much on Facebook about around the globe. It's so cool sometimes to see all the things that are going on. And one of the things that I noticed as I was looking on Facebook, and this is the nation of Spain, and I saw this man, and many of you might have even seen it. This man starts playing this piano on the outside of his veranda. And then there's a guy that down the way he's got another musical instrument of a horn. I'm not sure what you call it, a clarinet or whatever it might have been. But he was playing, and what was so cool? It was so beautiful. And when I saw all the people, of course their lifestyle is different. We live primarily in our area. We live in houses. We don't live in these complexes of buildings. And people are packed in. Some people are, but for the most part,
right,
in Iowa, we don't
right,
have that. We got
yep,
space. But man, that was beautiful. And I just think what a great time that we can have. Folks, we are a sinning people. We need the Lord to heal our land. Like Joseph and Nicodemus, they humbled themselves and they laid down their reputation as religious leaders to be Christ followers. And let's let our reputation be known, especially at times like this, the anxiety, the hope, and even dealing with anger. Can we truly be the light of Jesus Christ and be Christ followers? That brings us to my next point this morning, point number two. How much do you love Jesus? It says this in Luke chapter 23, verse 50. Now there was a man by the name of Joseph, a member of the high council, a good and upright man. Luke says Joseph was a good, upright man. This speaks greatly of what kind of man he was. He was good and upright, and he was a man, what I believe, of great character. He didn't fold when the heat was on. Verse 51 says he didn't convene into what the council's decisions or actions toward Jesus. He believed in Jesus and that he was good and that he loved people and he performed many miracles. He loved Jesus so much that he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body and placed it in his tomb. He didn't put on an earthly cost of his love for Jesus, and he was willing to sacrifice everything for his love for Jesus. You know, Tyler, as I sit here, what a great opportunity that we have of people of Christianity, of what ways that we can actually show Jesus' love. And maybe you're like me. Well, I don't know if you, and I'm sure you've heard different churches and different people are doing these different things to show the Christ and the extension of Jesus' love and how they love them. What are some of the things that you've seen or you've noticed, you've experienced?
Yeah, I think a lot of things that I've seen around here locally is just the extension of, you know, trying to provide assistance to those that have to take extra precaution right now.
Right.
So providing meals for those that are having suppressed immune systems, especially those that are elderly folks that we love so dearly. I see a lot of churches, specifically bodies, pastors, and leaders of churches asking their people to do that. I think that's one extension of love. I think even just a basic thing that I've seen is just there's been a lot more grace given to people.
Yes.
And that, I think, has been a really beautiful expression of love and showing the love of Christ as well.
Right. You know, one of the things my daughter shared a story of a friend that she had that was out in the Colorado Springs, and he and his wife make a very lucrative income, but they live in more so of a senior area of senior citizens living around them in the homes of where they lived. And I thought this was awesome. So this man, he goes out and he writes a letter to each one of his neighbors and places a dozen eggs on their front stoop. And he says this in his letter. He just wants to give them an opportunity. If there's anything that they need, that he is willing that he would go get it for them. And also, too, if they didn't have the means, the funds, the cash, he said he would take care of it. And he said blessings in the name of Jesus. And then he put his name. Man, when my daughter read that story and shared with me, I tell you what, Tyler, I was fighting back tears because what a great example of just a small thing, but speaking to your neighborhood, people who live around you. And I just think those are just great things today that we can do in the midst of Christ's love to be able to share, to know who he is and what he is doing in the midst of our lives, being there in the midst of your very own neighborhood itself. Which brings us to point number three this morning is this. This is the time to worship Jesus. It was an act of worship when Jesus was placed in Joseph's tomb. He buried Jesus like a royal king. He embalmed Jesus' body with spices that were designated for royalty. He bought 75 pounds of spices. Now remember, Jesus died a criminal's death, but was buried a king. If you watch the Passion of the Christ, you'll see Jesus' body coming down from the cross into the arms of his mother. And in the movie, you will see Joseph of Arimathea helping to take down the body of Christ from the cross itself. Now, you'll find in the book of John that Joseph is described as a secret follower of Jesus. But today, there was going to be no longer any secret. And I want to pause just for a moment as I think about being a secret follower of Jesus. And I think sometimes, Tyler, in our lives, that we go that way, not meaning to, but we really don't allow people to really see who we are. We go with the ebb and flow. We become part of what I'm going to say, the matrix, or the folks that are in a group. And you can't tell the difference anymore about the distinction of whether or not they're true believers or not, because we've become secret. What have you noticed as you've seen that in the areas of walks of in your life of where you go today?
Yeah, I think one place that we see that, honestly, we see it a lot anymore, I think.
Right.
Which is, it's sad and unfortunate that we, and I think specifically in the United States, are just so swamped with our daily life and just live in that space instead of living in the power of Christ instead and letting others see that. One area that I think that I'm kind of passionate about that I see this with is in our workspaces.
Right.
I mean, for those that are listening right now, just a little challenge to you. Do the people that work beside you know who you follow? Do they know that you are a Christian? Do they see, not just know because you told them, but because of your actions, do they see the love of Christ? Do they see who Christ is through you as well? I don't mean that as a bad thing towards anyone. I'm just encouraging, saying, you know, I encourage each person to show that and let people see that. It doesn't have to always be a walking up to someone and saying, I believe in God. Or when they ask you the question, if you're a believer or not, I believe. Do they see it?
Right. See, it's easy to become visible on Sunday when we go to church.
Yes.
But the other issue is the other 6 days of the week.
Yeah.
Do people, just like what you're saying, do people see it? You can tell. There's something different about you. And even come to the point, especially when I think of this time with the virus that's going around and so much anxiety and so many unknowns that are going on and people are scared and they're fearful. What a great time as a true disciple of Jesus Christ to really be able to have a voice. I want you to think about that with me for a minute, Tyler. What ways can we have a voice at a time like this? I know that's a hard question to think, and I know that's kind of put it on you.
On the spot, right?
On the spot. Right now. This is not a hard one. But when you think about that, what are some ways that we can really, you know, we could be expressive about our faith?
I think going back to what we were talking about as far as the ways that we've seen people display the love of Christ so far is, you know, being generous with our time and our gifts and what we can do. Obviously, we're in a time where people are asking us to stay in place. A lot of places they are. So that seems hard to get out and do actual things. But this is just something that I really loved. You know, I saw that Fairway this week, as a company, showed where they stand.
Yes.
In
their faith.
In their faith, absolutely.
And spoke about it.
Yes, they spoke directly, but even indirectly with, you know what, we're gonna cut our hours a little bit, but what we're going to do is we're going to allow anyone that is elderly or is in that group of people that should be maybe a little bit more vigilant of their health throughout this time to come in, and we're going to give you an hour to do all your shopping before anyone else comes in the store right after this place has been disinfected. So you've got a space and you can come do that.
Right.
And then what I think would be a great thing that people could do to expand upon that is get with your church. Get the list of these are the people that may need some assistance because of their age, which I don't want to seem like I'm picking on anyone of any age, but it's just a reality we're living in right now.
Right.
And see what kind of things can you do for those people? Can you, rather than allowing them to go out, can you go during the time, then during the other time, and get them things instead and drop them off at their front door? You know, I think that's one way we can show that there's a million ways that we can do this, but just little things where we can show the love of Christ. I think that's when you, even the simplest little thing like that is what makes someone look at you and go, there's something about that person.
Right.
There's something in their heart that is different than just the average Joe walking around. Mm-hmm. That's just one of the simplest things. You know, I saw this week on Facebook a family, a local family, that is a large family, and they were, you know, we have the giant toilet paper crisis of 2020 right. going on.
Right.
And they were voicing that, you know, all the stores were out of toilet paper right now. And they've got a family of 10 mm-hmm. and really needs, they were down to just a few rolls left. They had right. like 7 or 8 rolls left. To us, that seems like a lot. But when you've got 10 people in your yeah. house and the majority of them are going through it quickly, that becomes a real need. And if the stores don't have that on the shelf when he's there, it's a real problem.
Right.
And what I saw was in the comments section, a ton of people in there saying, you know what, I have 5 extra rolls. Can I bring them to your house? Can I, you know, just being vigilant of yes. what people need and how you, and just being open to helping.
Right. Oh, that's great. Now, here's something I want you to hear this morning about this. This is important. If you don't hear anything else from us today, hear this. There is no such thing as a secret disciple. Either the secrecy will destroy the disciple, or the disciple will destroy the secrecy. I'm going to say that again. There is no such thing as a secret disciple. Either the secrecy will destroy the disciple, or the disciple will destroy the secrecy. Joseph was telling everyone, "Here is my king." No longer was he a man hidden in the things. With that being said, he learned to worship Jesus. Although he's hidden in the story, he learned to worship the King of Kings. There's a song from Elevation Worship that I encourage you to listen to after. I'm going to give you just a few of the lyrics this morning. It says, "Oh, come to the altar." And it says this, "Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." With that, let's pray this morning. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that you are the hope and the light for all of us, no matter whether we're in a situation of dark times or whether we're in a situation of simply looking for you. Lord, I pray that this morning that maybe there's somebody out there listening today has lost hope and they're looking for something to fill that hope. I pray that they will ask you to be their Lord and Savior this morning. Today could be the day in the midst of the anxiety and the place of where we're looking for hope. You are the hope, you are the way, and you are the life. Jesus, thank you for who you are. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I want to thank you again for listening today. We will also be talking next week. Our last story is hidden in the story itself. We're going to be talking about the disciple John. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.